Hello everybody and welcome to the .NET Ring of Honor podcast. My name is Darren Gritchidge. I'm joined tonight by Mr. Hayden Gleed.
Hi everybody.
And we're here to take you through this week's episode of Ring of Honor TV. This was the episode headlined by the semi-final, one of the semi-finals, for the six-man ROH tag title tournament. This was Kushida, ACH and Jay White taking on the Cabinet, and you can learn all about that and much more after this. Welcome back, everybody, to the .NET Ring of Honor podcast. Yeah, as I mentioned, we have a semi-final match on this show, which is kind of odd, because the other side of this bracket, what they're referring to as bracket B, has had no matches yet, and yet we're already at the semi-final for this one. I presume that's because Kushida, obviously, he's on a bit of a maybe a tighter schedule because he has to go back to Japan, so maybe they felt the need to play through this side of the bracket. But yes, it is very odd that we have one side of the tournament already finished and we have one of their finalists settled and the other side has yet to kick off.
Yeah, it's a little bit strange. That is a good point about Kushida. I thought maybe that they wanted to, because one of the matches in the other side of the bracket is the Addiction and Kamitachi. So I thought maybe that the Addiction were actually had some legitimate injuries or just couldn't actually work that particular TV taping. So they ploughed on the other side. But your actual explanation actually makes more sense.
It could be down to Ring of Honor just not having their stuff together.
Ring of Honor? No. Don't be daft.
But if you have your stuff together, then you, of course, want to join the .NET membership.
Hey.
Hey, I know, I'm getting very good at these. Yes, if you pop over to ProWrestling.net and click up on the membership page, you will find out that for just $7.50 a month, or $5.50 a month if you take the 12-month option, you will get access to audio reviews of every single American wrestling TV show that there is. On top of Ring of Honor, you also have Raw, SmackDown, Lucha Underground, TNA, NXT, The Works, and Progress. Let's not forget about Progress.
Let's not forget Progress.
Of course not. Yes, you get access to all of that and the .NET Weekly audio show as well, where Jason and a guest, not Hayden, of course, but a guest, will sit down and talk about the news of the week in wrestling. There'll be news items in there that you won't have heard anywhere else. You can also go back and listen to all of the podcasts we've done in the past. Lots of great A-list interviews we've done over the past, and if you just want to go back and listen to random Ring of Honor episodes from last year, you can do that too. You also get ad-free access to the website and access to the membership form as well. All of that for $7.50 a month. As I said, if you're interested at all in any of these all-access podcasts we put out there, please do pop over to ProWrestling.net and look for the membership sign-up. Right, let's dive into this show. We had a recap of the Bullet Club's beatdown of both members of Red Dragon last week. Before we went to the titles, when we came back, Steve Corino and Kevin Kelly introduced us to Lowell, Massachusetts, and hyped that ACH Kushida and Jay White versus the Cabinet will be the main event of the show. We then had Donovan Dijak make his way out. He had Prince Nana in tow, as well as an entourage who had several big flags saying, you know, Dijak or Feastroys. I think Kelly said that they're members of the wrestling school that Donovan Dijak came out of.
I didn't even hear that bit.
Did you not? Were you distracted?
No, not at all. I don't know where it was. I for some reason, the commentators didn't register with me at all tonight, which I suppose in a way that's good because there was nothing awful, but at the same time, it's just sort of faded into the background. But sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, Darren.
Fine. His opponent, Danny Miles, was already stood in the ring, and this led to the first match of the night, which was Donovan Dijak taking on Danny Miles. Dijak killed Miles out of the gate, absolutely spannering him with a big boot and a rolling forearm. And he hit three Feast Your Eyes. He hit the first one, and then the crowd chanted one more time. Now, a good heel in this circumstance would usually refuse to give him another one, because that's what the crowd wants. Heels aren't there to please the crowd. Unfortunately, Dijak did pick him up and gave him a second one, and then Prince Nana goaded him into giving him a third Feast Your Eyes before finally pinning Danny. After the match, we did have Prince Nana grab the microphone, and he told everyone to shut up. And he said that what happened at All Star Extravaganza in Dijak's loss to Bobby Fish was a mistake. He said that Dijak never gave up. I think it was a referee stoppage. That's what Kevin Kelly said it was.
Mm-hmm.
And said that wouldn't happen again, that disappointment wouldn't happen again, and that Dijak is what an athlete should be, and should he get that chance again, he will definitely win the TV title. He asked Dijak if he agreed, and though Dijak didn't say anything, you could tell they were in cahoots. Did you get the same impression of me? I think the visual of him giving free feast your eyes to Danny Mills, who took it like a champ, was quite good. I still think it kind of went against what should be his natural heel tendencies.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. I do want to echo what you said, though, about Danny selling like a beast for the beast of ROH, shall we say. I do want to say as well that I did actually mishear the name. I seem to be doing this quite a lot recently. I mishear the name of the enhancement guy, and I thought it was Danny Mills. So our British listeners will understand that, because it's a awful, awful, awful football pundit here in the UK. Only second as bad as his football career, but we won't go down that route. But yeah, definitely the three feast your eyes, although it was impressive and it did make him look like a beast, you are right in terms of a true heel would have just gone, no, I don't think so, and just kicked him out of the ring or something like that.
Yeah, I don't know whether the trade-off was worth it, because, like I said, it was very impressive to see him as the raw athlete that he is, but, yeah, what I did like was the little hint of friction at the end as well, that maybe Prince Nana's starting to get under Dijak's skin of being kind of shouting at him and being very forceful in his managerial efforts of Dijak. Anything that teases, you know, tension between those two and could potentially lead to the exit door for Prince Nana out of the Dijak fold is good news to me.
Well, this is the thing. It's the promo after the match. It was the ideal spot for a heel mouthpiece to come in and talk about his client, shall we say. And Prince Nana just bored me. And I think that kind of just sums up how ineffective and, in a way, pointless Prince Nana is to this combination.
No, he didn't really bring anything. I think that would have been a good point to say, yes, what happened at Ring of Orzo Extravaganza was a disappointment, which he did say. But he kind of turned it into almost a negative against Dijak, saying that won't happen again, like scolding him like a child, instead of saying, look what this man just did to this other man. Look what my client is capable of doing. You know, do a full Paul Heyman, Brock Lesnar of selling him as kind of an athlete that no one can live with. Obviously, they've not help themselves in the amount of losses Dijak has had in his 2 years in Ring of Honor, but there we go. There's still plenty of time and plenty of potential there to salvage. We went backstage where we were shown footage from last week that apparently happened after the main event. The Bullet Club was stood with a backstage announcer. They started talking about the Bucks' win at Ladder Wars when the Momentum City Machine Guns came in after their loss on last week's TV show. Adam Cole called them the Fragile City Machine Guns. The Machine Guns then attacked the Bullet Club until the officials split them up. I'm taken by that little giggle there, Hayden, that you were quite a big fan of the Fragile City Machine Guns.
Yeah, it kind of fits perfect, but I actually laughed more. I don't know if you caught it, but as they were fighting, some guy off camera, in a really deep voice, went, "Get security in here!" It just freaked me out.
Right, we then went to another backstage segment, this time with the Briscoes. They called out the Addiction for using underhanded tactics at Field of Honor and cost them a chance to become the ROH Tag Champions for the 9th time. Jay Briscoe said there were repercussions for such actions and they were coming for their heads. At which point Mark chimed in, "You may not have titles anymore, but you still have heads, right?" And I was like, probably Mark, yeah.
Oh, but come on, the Briscoes promos are always fantastic. They just bounce off each other so well, and they just come across as properly unhinged badasses. They're brilliant.
Don't for a second think that I wasn't then saying that I enjoyed that promo. I was just, pointing that out. Right, the Briscoes then made their way down to the ring ahead of this tag match, but when the Addiction appeared with Kamatache in tow, they were in street clothes. They did do a few close-ups of the heads of Kaz and Daniels, both of which had stitches in. Kaz took the microphone and said they weren't ready to wrestle, obviously, because they're not in their wrestling gear. But they were still there despite their hardship in Ladder Wars. He claimed that Ladder Wars has changed them. But this wasn't news to the Briscoes, of course, because they have a long legacy of being warriors in Ring of Honor. Kaz then said that Chris Daniels has a long legacy too of being a warrior. He said that Daniels had given his everything in wrestling, given everything he had to wrestling, and Kaz swore that it was his honour to give his all as well alongside Daniels, and claimed that before he dies, he will make sure that Chris Daniels gets to be champion again. He swore that when people talk about the best tag team in Ring of Honor history in the future, they won't talk about the Briscoes, they will talk about the Addiction. As the Addiction left, Jay said that was a hell of a speech, but they hadn't laced up their boots for nothing, so he decided to call out the Young Bucks. Instead, Team Adam from the Bullet Club made their way out, and Adam Cole told them that it was real big of the Briscoes to call out Young Bucks after the horrors they went through in Ladder Wars. You think you run this place because you've been here since day one, but I've got news for you. There are new sheriffs in town, and they are the Bullet Club. Briscoe said if the Bucks didn't want to fight, then why didn't Cole and Paige get their pretty little lasses inside the ring instead? Paige and Cole did tease leaving at one point, but then they ran in and blitzed the ring to start off the second match of the night. This was the Briscoes taking on the Adam side of the Bullet Club in Adam Paige and Adam Cole. And just before we dive into that match, Hayden, what do you think of, well, Kaz's promo? Because Chris Daniels said nothing here. I think it's one of the better promos I've ever seen Kaz cut. I don't think it was laser focused and could have been more, geared towards pushing something forward. But it was quite nice promo work, I felt.
Oh, very much so. And I think it's probably the best I've seen from Kaz since they came back to Ring of Honor. For me, the whole point of the promo was to further along the brutality of the Ladder Wars. And what they went through, that the close-ups of the cuts on the head and the stitches, and especially the staple in the back of Kaz's head, was just fantastic. I don't know if it was by design, but Daniels just stood in the back looking like a broken man. And my hope from this now is that they might start treating Daniels and Kazarian seriously, like they should have from the start, as opposed to, they weren't exactly a comedy team, but they were more chicken-esque sort of team, if you will. The other point I wanted to raise as well is at one point I did think that ROH were going to give away a Briscoes against Young Bucks match again without any build, and I was going to be losing my proverbial poo, shall we say. But I'm glad that in a way we got swerved.
I had faith in them to stick that course. I do think that's what we're going to see at Final Battle. Mm-hmm. I think they will, perhaps on the UK tour, they'll have the Young Bucks versus Dalton Castle and Colt Cabana.
Yeah.
That feels like a good... They're loading up that London show with quite a few matches, so I think it might happen there. And then we'll have the Briscoes versus Young Bucks at Final Battle.
You should see the expletives I got in my notes when I thought they were going to give away Briscoes against Young Bucks.
In the middle of the show with no advertising.
Yeah.
I would have joined you with that expletive-laden rant there. But no, we instead got, as I said, the second match of the night, the Briscoes taking Adam Page and Adam Cole. Near the end, Jay came in on the hot tag and handily took care of both of his opponents. He was sent up for the Jay Driller on Adam Page when Cole ran in with the ROH title and hit Briscoe in the face of it, causing the DQ. I was like, oh, well done, ROH referees. You do remember what a DQ is. Well done. After the match, the Bullet Club continued their attack. Cole and Page both grabbed chairs, but before they were allowed to attack, Kyle O'Reilly and Bobby Fish ran down. Bobby Fish very gingerly ran down with a chair, but nonetheless, they were able to run the Adams out of the ring. I don't think this was a great match, obviously, because it didn't really have time to get going. I think it couldn't have been longer than 5 minutes, and it had a commercial break in the middle of it, which didn't help anything. But I gave this a hit on my ProWrestling.net hit list, which you can go and read right now on the site, because I felt like it's furthering... Basically, the Bullet Club is being booked in two halves. The Adams side of the Bullet Club is being booked very well, I feel. They're clearly trying to set up the Bullet Club as the all-conquering faction, and they're then going to set up the, you know, the ROH All-Stars to come and take them down, much as they were trying to do with the NWO, but hopefully it doesn't drag on anywhere near that long and has a logical finish. I know that's big of me talking for that for Ring of Honor, but fingers crossed. So yeah, this was a means to an end there. You tease this match, which is a pretty high-profile match and could headline an episode of TV. You said you keep it short, you keep Adam Page getting heat on his side, you're lining up the Briscoes and Red Dragon to take on the four men of the Bullet Club. That seems like a good idea to me.
Yeah, I thought it was a smart finish as well, because, as you said, the Briscoes are probably going to challenge the Bucks of Youth at Final Battle, so they can't really lose this match. Paige and Cole need to be kept strong for their feuds with Cole's Lethal and O'Reilly, and with Paige and Bobby Fish. And it also made Adam Cole look like a smart heel for taking out the opponents of his stablemates. And ultimately, the match was meaningless. It didn't really detract from, it didn't bring the show down because of it. I do still question the logic of Adam Cole still saying Adam Cole baby. I know it's a regular complaint about the Bullet Club not actually going for true heel heat, but before the match, he was acting very heelish. He was doing all these really great little heelish things. And then he gets in the ring, he does that, and it completely wipes out everything he's done before. I just don't understand why he continues to do it, especially when all he has to do is tease doing it and then not do it and give the crowd a look of, you don't deserve to chant that. You know, it'd be such an easy thing to do, and I don't understand why he continues to do it.
See, I it's not that I disagree, but I think he's doing enough. And that is a very heelish thing to do, mind you, to just shout his name rather loudly at people. It's still a heelish thing to do. It's not like he's saying something particularly cool. I know you're quite fond of shouting at Adam Cole, maybe, but there we go. Like I said, he's on the right side of things, I think. Especially Paige. Paige is the only true heel, I think, in the Bullet Club at the moment. They're pushing that way with Cole, but there's still a way to go. I think the problem with this feud, if it's going to play out how I outlined earlier, is the other side of the Bullet Club. Because there you have the Young Bucks. And I understand the corner that ROH is in that no one really wants to boo the Young Bucks because they're so good. But they're not even attempting it. They're basically booked as babyfaces until it is convenient on that week's episode of TV.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Ladder Wars, I suspect, even though the Machine Guns should have been the babyface in that match, I guarantee you Bullet Club was the most over... the Young Bucks even were the most over tag team in that match. So I think when they get that sorted and they book everyone on the Bullet Club side of things as true heels, going for true heel heat, then I think this storyline could really start hitting its stride.
Yeah, I see your point. I still think because he used Adam Cole baby when he was a babyface, I just think he should shy away from that. But we can agree to disagree on that one.
Backstage, Matt Taven was talking about giving everyone a fair warning that a kingdom in his image was going to be coming soon. He said, in fact, it will be next week. And all the Melvins, direct quote, all of the Melvins will have to say, thy kingdom come. I could not give two craps about a Matt Taven-fronted kingdom.
What do you think of Matt Taven's look at the moment?
I mean, it's Matt Taven. He's got a weird voodoo stick for some reason. He's kind of got, like, blonde Shinsuke Nakamura hair. That was odd.
He looks like something out of Steel Panther, but not in a good way.
No, you're very right there. No. Like I said, Taven has always been... He's not even the third wheel. He was always the fourth wheel of the kingdom, yeah. As far as I was concerned. Maria was much more integral to that act than Matt Taven ever was. But, yes, so next week we have to look forward to Matt Taven's version of the kingdom. And coming out of those taping spoilers, I can't remember who it was who his two new tag team partners... But I seem to remember Zim was in attendance at that and was very underwhelmed. So I can only imagine the levels of apathy we're going to reach on next week's ROH show.
Oh, that's going to be a good members audio to listen to.
Oh, the expletives we're going to have. Jay Lethal was stood on the stage with Kevin Kelly and he spoke about his rematch in London with Adam Cole for the ROH title. He claimed that he would prove for a fact that he's the best wrestler in the world when he beats Adam Cole. And he did compliment Adam Cole on doing everything he could to win the ROH Championship. And that Jay Lethal was going to reciprocate that by doing everything in his power to win it back. So that he could return to the United States as a champion. Quick point of order.
Mm-hmm.
Very odd to have this as a live in the arena promo in America... For a match taking place on a UK tour.
Yeah, I suppose, especially because it's not going to be part of the TV schedule either, because they've literally just taped, I think, through to Final Battle now. So, although they might play some highlights, it's very strange. It's the whole Silas. It's like Silas Young from a couple of weeks ago, in terms of they built up a big part of the show, building up the Cole Silas Young match when it wasn't even going to be shown on TV.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very strange logic. I'm sure there is some there, but I can't seem to grasp it.
Well, I think there's a bit of a difference there, because with that, you did get a match out of it. You know what I mean? We did get Jay Lethal versus Silas Young out of that. So the fans in attendance had something to watch and enjoy. And, you know, obviously ROH has a bigger viewing number over in America than it does over here. So people in Florida, where that show, where Silas Young was challenging for the belt, I think it was Florida.
It was Florida, yeah.
At least it stood a chance of driving people towards that event. I think over here, well, two things. One, it was just a live promo. There was no match attached to it, so there was literally nothing of value for the fans there in Lowell, Massachusetts. So they really could have done this as a backstage segment.
Mm-hmm.
And B, I don't know if pushing the tour on their TV show, whilst it's helpful, but they have a lot of ads for doing that anyway, is really going to drive all that many more people going to the ROH shows. Because I don't think anyone who's watching this, who lives in the UK, is on the fence at this point. You know what I mean? I think they've already bought their tickets, or they're like you and me and just decided, for whatever reason, that we're not going to go to them. But I digress. They currently could have done that better, but just it was odd to me that Lowell, Massachusetts was trying to be hyped about a match happening in London, England. Very, very strange. Right.
But one quick thing I want to point out as well, just going back to my rant a couple of weeks ago, I think it was on Members Only Audio, about the way that I'm concerned that the way they're going to build Cole and O'Reilly to at Final Battle. I kind of softened on that after thinking about it, after my rant, about the fact that, yeah, they had to build towards Lethal and Cole at this London event first, because you can't obviously promote a Final Battle match until you know who the champion is. But I realized today that it's only 12 days between the match in London and Final Battle. So essentially, they've given themselves one TV show to build up to the championship match at one of their biggest pay-per-views. Does that not seem really odd to you?
Final Battle is a month tomorrow. We're recording this on Tuesday, so tomorrow is the 2nd of November. It will be a month. It's on the 2nd of December that we're getting the Final Battle ones. That is ridiculous. For their... this is the thing. I think because ROH pay-per-views all kind of do the same thing, I know they pitch Final Battle as their equivalent of WrestleMania, but it's never really held true. I think all ROH pay-per-views just happen on a plateau. Other than the prior to the deluge of New Japan stars, maybe those crossover ones were operating on a slightly higher level. But that is what they've been building towards all year, is that match. And that they should be thankful for that, because it shouldn't take too long to kind of turn that feud on for O'Reilly versus Cole when they need to. But they are selling it rather short. That means we're only going to have potentially four more Ring of Honor episodes before we get to that show. I wanted a longer build. They have started building it, because obviously we did get segments last week and this week with Adam Cole and Kyle O'Reilly. But it just feels like, they're kind of splitting their attention between that rematch in London and Final Battle, when really all efforts should have been made already for that UK tour. They should think, okay, we're either going to sell out at this point, or we're not going to sell any more tickets, no matter what we do, and instead focus everything on Final Battle and raking those pay-per-view buys.
Yeah, no, you got no argument from me. I just, it was just a point that sort of suddenly hit me today. I was just thinking, okay, well, maybe I was right about my rant after all.
When we came back, we were in the arena and the cabinet made their way out first, followed by ACH, Kushida and Jay White, who all made their way out together. As we mentioned, this is a semi-final match for the ROH six-man tag titles. The winner of this will go to the final, which was confirmed to take place at Final Battle. Before the bell, the cabinet took a knee in peaceful protest to the Code of Honor. Kushida, Jay White and ACH all offered their hand, and then did the, how best to describe that motion, Hayden?
Up yours,
they did that, and that aggravated the cabinet enough to attack. Near the end, Coleman got a close two count on Jay White following a sky splitter. Kushida made the saves and then turned everything into a free-for-all with finishing moves here, there and everywhere. Following the chaos, we kind of went back to square one, where Coleman was set up for another sky splitter on Jay White. But this time, Jay White caught him with an Uranage. He managed to tag in ACH, and whilst Kushida took out Rhett Titus and Kenny King on the outside with a dive over the ropes, ACH was able to hit the 450 for the win. And to help him, Kushida and Jay White advanced to the final at Final Battle on December 2nd. Kelly hyped that next week we will see an opening round match on the other side of the bracket of this tournament, which would be the Bullet Club versus the aforementioned Matt Taven-fronted Kingdom. And next week we'll also see a proving ground match, which is essentially their non-title match against champions, where if the challenger wins, I think they guarantee themselves a title shot. This will be CMLL's Dragon Lee taking on Bobby Fish. So should Dragon Lee win that, he will potentially get a TV title shot in the near future. I think my problem with this was, Hayden, it was fine, but it didn't feel like a main event. And it really should have done, considering, well, A, it was the main event of the TV show, and B, it's a semi-final match. It just didn't feel that big a deal.
No, it's strange, because I enjoyed the match, because obviously all six men are very talented. But there wasn't that real feeling of that they were fighting for a final spot. It just felt like another exhibition. I do want to say that the right team did win in the end, considering it's probably going to be the Bullet Club that they face in the final. But it didn't have the big match feel that perhaps it should have. Perhaps it's because, you know, we've only seen one side of the bracket. And it just doesn't feel that they're going through to the final, if that makes any sense.
See, I don't know if they're going to face the Bullet Club. Because obviously Adam Page and the Young Bucks are probably going to be busy on Final Battle. So
Is it not going to be more the B team of the Bullet Club as opposed to the main parts of the Bullet Club that we've become accustomed to?
I think I'd have to check the listings, or possibly the ROH TV. TV taping spoilers, but I was under the impression that it's Adam Cole and the Young Bucks.
Okay.
So had it been Adam Page and the Young Bucks, then maybe, but I think they'll want their tag titles on the line at Final Battle. Oh yeah, because of course if the Young Bucks still have the titles, they'll be facing the Briscoes at Final Battle. So yeah, I think they're kind of painting themselves into a corner there. Hopefully that doesn't mean the Kingdom of all people are going to go over the Young Bucks, because that's just ridiculousness on a whole different level, but we'll cross that bridge next week. No, I think, obviously it's been a short-form tournament, hasn't really given them enough time to build up any momentum, but it was hard for me to care about the six-man titles anyway, and I don't think this match helped. It was fine, but as you mentioned, it felt like an exhibition as opposed to anything substantive.
Yeah, definitely. But as I said, all six men did impress me. ACH always impresses me, no matter what he does, to be quite honest. He really has something that, if ROH tapped into it properly, the crowd could get really behind him, both with his personality and his in-ring work. But because we saw some of that in the short program he had with Silas Young. Jay White still continues to be a bit vanilla. I was thinking about this, Darren. Again, this is going to be more for the British sort of listeners, but he's the wrestling equivalent to me of Darren Fletcher. He's good at what he does. He's effective, but he's not flashy. He doesn't really get noticed, but his fellow pros sort of respect him. I don't know if that's a good analogy for Jay White.
No, because Darren Fletcher is the leader of men. He's my captain, oh captain, and I will not hear anybody talk bad about him. Not only does he share my first name, he also happens to be on my wall at the moment, as he's been picked on a calendar for the month of November. And I will, again, to reiterate, not hear anything bad about Darren Fletcher. So we're going to throw that analogy straight out the window.
Okay, insert your central midfield player that you know is a good player, but you don't see him often in a game. He commands everyone around him.
James Milner,
there you go.
There you go, Americans. Look that up. but yes, so overall, I think this is a very middle of the road Ring of Honor for me. I don't think I actually gave it any misses on my hit. In fact, I know I didn't give it any misses on my hit list, but none of those were particularly strong hits. It still feels like we're not because of how ROH builds to pay-per-views, kind of doing it as a mad scramble, very disjointedly nearer the time, it doesn't really feel like we're in that real big push toward Final Battle yet, and when that rolls around, that will help, I think, the quality of the TV shows, but even this far out, it's just it's hard to get excited about. I am looking forward to Kyle O'Reilly vs. Adam Cole by default, but nothing they're doing to build up to the other matches has quite got me yet, potentially because they have got that roadblock of the UK tour, which is taking a surprising amount of focus, because as I said, that's where Jay Lee vs. Adam Cole is going to take place. That's where we presume, well, it's either going to happen there or at some point before Final Battle, Dalton Castle and Colt Cabana have got to have their title matches. Feels like there's still some hurdles to clear. At least with WrestleMania season, they tend to, you get into the Elimination Chamber and then all hurdles are gone. You have a straight line to that finish. There's going to be twists and turns and everything, but there's not like these obligated things they have to get through first.
How old are you? It's not Elimination Chamber anymore. It's Fastlane. Duh.
Oh, my apologies. I forgot about it.
You need to be young and hip like me and with it.
Of course, I missed the Elimination Chamber. I think I said it. It's just it made sense in the same way that Hell in a Cell doesn't make sense.
Yeah,
does that make sense?
It makes sense.
Great. Let's not talk about WWE on the Ring of Honor show. See it next week. We have also had overall thoughts on the show.
I'm just going to echo your sentiments, to be quite honest. There was nothing that I would look at and go, oh, apart from Caprice Coleman, but I've managed to resist having a go at him, especially him screaming during his match.
Oh,
but,
even that got on my nerves this week.
Yeah. Apart from that, there was no nonsense with BJ Whitmer, Kevin Sullivan. There was no cheeseburger. So I was quite happy with that. But there was nothing that got me excited and wanted to sort of gush over on the podcast.
And just to kind of cap this off, we'll do this if I remember as we roll forward towards Final Battle. Current hype for Final Battle out of five.
One.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm with you there. That one is solely down to O'Reilly versus Carl, I'm guessing.
And the potential of Young Bucks against Briscoes.
Yes, to be fair, they always do have fantastic matches. So, yeah I'm still going to stick it at one, but yeah. We've got some time to build towards that, but hopefully they really start kicking into gear as early as next week. Right, if you want to listen to all of our thoughts on Ring of Honor as we build towards Final Battle on the 2nd of December, all you need to do, go over to ProWrestling.net, look at the membership sign-up page, and for $7.50 a month, you can get access to every single show me and Hayden record on Ring of Honor, on Progress, and on what the Fervor.net staff record on Raw, SmackDown, NXT, TNA, Lucha Underground, The Works, as well as the .net weekly audio show, and add free access to the site. All that can be yours for just $7.50 a month. Plug away, Hayden.
And well, the first thing I want to plug is the fact that I actually listened to some of our audio, our ROH audio from about a year ago, and you were a very angry man a year ago. Just in general.
I mean, yes, but that was just when I thought, you know, the Steve Corino feud had already played out, and turns out really hadn't.
But of course, if you want to listen to how angry Darren was a year ago, you can join .net membership and have a listen to that. As for myself, as always, you can find me on Twitter at Hayden Gleed. I wrote a blog over the weekend looking at my favorite and my least favorite Hell in a Cell matches. I can confirm after watching Hell in a Cell on Sunday, after Sunday because of the UK time, none of the matches would have knocked anything off either the worst or best list. But if you want to read that blog anyway, just to see my thoughts, and then you're more than welcome. I have got a blog coming out this week, but I'm going to keep it as a bit of a surprise for people, so keep checking out on .net for that. Apart from that, again, find me on Twitter at Hayden Gleed.
You can find me on Twitter at The Guthrie Jr. or check out my other website, failentertainment.com. That's fell spelt
F-O-U-L.
Entertainment.com. Yes, you can go today. We posted our Doctor Strange review. We'll have a Pokemon episode coming out this week, if not, it's already out. And they're just about to start their 30 days of stuff where we'll be posting a new piece of content, audio or written, every single day for the month of November. And of course, we're gearing up to Harry Potter week, commencing very soon as well. I'll have details for that next week on the Ring of Honor podcast, which is where you can catch me and Hayden. Also, do go check out their Progress Wrestling show, which will hopefully be dropping some point this week as well. Hope you enjoy that. And again, hopefully we're going to see you on the membership side of ProWrestling.net. Until then, we'll speak to you next week.
Farewell.